thank you, thank you. Welcome to Elim Christian Center 2025 International Sunday. Oh, before you take a seat, let's pray. Let's commit our service to the Lord today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your creation. My Lord, today as we have people from all around the world to come to the same place to worship you, Lord, fill our heart with gratitude and joy and peace. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. Petra, could you please pass my notes to me? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, welcome to Elim Christian Center. I'm Shane. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm from China. That's why I look like Bruce Lee. Oh, Jackie Chan. And as many of you already know, you know, we are into week 4 of our sermon series about the armor of God. The sermon series is called Therefore Stand. Today we are into week 4. And before we dive into today's message, let's have a quick recap of the theme scripture. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verse 14 to 15. The Apostle Paul says, "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." Let's carry on. Verse 16. "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." That's Ephesians 6, verse 16. Today we focus on the shield of faith. And our sermon is called Stand Firm, Stand Together. You know, in ancient times, you know, when the Apostle Paul wrote this later, and the Roman soldiers were using shields. They were probably 1.5 meter tall and 1 meter wide. They were huge and rectangular, and they were made of wood with a metal frame, and they were solid and strong. Well, I don't have a Roman shield with me today, but I do have something similar in size and made with similar materials. Let me show you. Okay, here's the thing. Every sermon illustration requires collaboration between the preacher and the congregation. So today, I need your imagination. Okay, because without the imagination, you will see a Chinese furniture mover holding a table. But with your imagination, you will see a Roman soldier carrying a shield. Okay, now, please do me a favor. Use your imagination, okay? I will guide you. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay, just imagine when I speak. Okay, you imagine this trestle table transformed into a shield painted red. Okay, all the Roman shields are in red color. And with a metal plate in the center. Now, open your eyes. Wait. Now you can see the power of imagination, right? All of that is in your mind, okay? Now you can see this plain trestle table turned into something painted red, right? Silver straps crisscrossing each other. And the metal plate is actually a recycled plate. Right in the center, okay? So that's what you imagine. It's all in your mind. Don't doubt. Just believe it. Hey, that's good, eh? Yeah. With a shield, when I speak, it makes me feel like Donald Trump. Okay, now, friends, as you can see, this is strong, solid, and well-designed. right? So when the Roman soldier will carry the table, the shield, into battle. So this can protect themselves from the attacks. In the same way, our faith works like a shield. It's designed to protect ourselves in times of attack. Okay, now this is very important. Faith is all about trusting in God. So when we talk about the shield of faith, we are talking about being covered by God Himself. It's God's protection that stands between us and the devil. So when the Bible urges us to take up the shield of faith, it's reminding us that when we move in faith, God moves for us. When we move in faith, God moves for us. So when in the scripture it says, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Here's the thing. What are these flaming arrows? Okay, they can be negative thoughts, hurtful words, or tough situations that make us feel discouraged, confused, or even afraid. These are the attacks the devil uses to make us doubt God's promises and shift our focus away from Him. But when we take up the shield of faith, we are putting on God's protection, standing firm against doubt. So my first point for you today is standing firm against doubt. You know, doubts can attack anyone about anything at any time. Just imagine you are attending a short meeting in the city. Right now, you are standing in front of a parking meter and wondering, should I pay for 40 minutes or 1 hour? Man, there's an extra $2 there. I don't want to do that. 40 minutes should be enough, okay? But I'm not sure, but let's do 40 minutes. Why? Hey, you never really care about $2 until it's time to pay at the parking meter. But here's the problem. Your doubt doesn't just go away because you make the decision. During that 40 minutes meeting, you were thinking, maybe I should have paid for 1 hour. Okay, man, how much is the fine if I park over time? Everyone has doubt. And if you struggle with doubt, you are not alone. You know, even the heroes in the Bible, like Abraham, Moses, and David, faced doubts. John the Baptist had doubts. And even Jesus' disciples struggled with doubt. In John 7, verse 5, the Bible says, even Jesus' own brothers did not believe in him. But our struggles with doubt today, I believe, is harder than those in the Bible faced. Why? Because today, our lives are overloaded with too much information. Just way too much. It is harder than ever to figure out what's truth and what's not. What's fact and what's fiction. All this information often creates more confusion than clarity. One morning last week, I made myself a cup of coffee. When I reached for the milk in the fridge, and that's the last bottle in the fridge, but I noticed, wow, it's 2 days past the expiry date. Have you ever drank expired milk? Two days passed. How does it smell? And it smells like milk to me. Should I take it? Should I take the risk? To be or not to be, that's the question. So I'm a little bit confused because
When you look closely, the bottle doesn't say expiry date. It says best before. What does that mean? You know, some people say the best before doesn't mean you have to stop using it. It just means the milk is not at its best. Thank you, but I don't need to know that. I just want to know when I must stop using it. It's like the traffic lights turns yellow and stays stuck there. So everybody is like, hey, am I supposed to keep going or stop? It's obviously not green, but it never turns red. It's so confusing. You know what? Don't tell me best before date. Just give me the worst after date. So I will know exactly when it's time to stop using it. You know, today's world is filled with those kind of information, messages that didn't give us the clear facts we need. So people have to figure things out based on their interpretation, right? So people end up relying on their feelings as the truth. How can we rely on our feelings? Because our feelings change all the time. How I feel today might not be the same how I feel tomorrow. The problem is in today's world, we don't have the objective truth. People don't believe the word of God anymore. When you lose the objective truth, what do you use to measure against the information you receive? That's why it's so confusing. Only the word of God, only the word of God is unchanging truth. Only the word of God brings order out of chaos, clarity amidst confusion, and freedom from doubt. As I mentioned before, even Jesus' brothers didn't believe in him. And one of his brothers, James, didn't believe in Jesus until after his resurrection. But James eventually became a key leader in the early church. Later, he encouraged the believers who were struggling with doubt, saying, let's go to James 1, verse 5 to 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Okay? And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. What a promise. What a promise here. Even with all our imperfections, God will generously give us what we need when we ask him. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just wants us to trust him enough to take steps forward. So don't be afraid to make a decision and keep moving. Hey, listen, even if you make a mistake, remember that God is bigger than any mistake. Listen to this. In God's plan, there is no expiry date on your package. In God's design, there is never an expiry date on your package. There's always hope, always a chance, always a solution. And this verse makes it very clear that God wants to speak to us personally. And God wants us to believe that we can hear him clearly. So here's some practical steps we can use. Before you open your Bible, don't just rush into your Bible study or feel like, okay, I read Bible because I'm a Christian. Okay, I read Bible because my group leaders, my pastors asked me to read. No, no, no. Before you open your Bible, take a moment to pray this thing of short prayer. Pray to God, God, I trust you that you will speak to me today through what I read, through your word. And I believe today you will answer the questions on my heart. So every day we need to approach God with intentions, expectations, and even questions. Approach God with expectations. We need to believe that God will speak to me in a way that we can understand. If you still have doubts, don't worry. Bring your doubts to God, because God is big enough to handle your doubts. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, a young boy had been suffering from an evil spirit for years. So the boy's father reached out to Jesus and asked, "If you can do anything, please help us." And that's Jesus' answer. Mark 9, verse 23 to 24. "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." He said, "Please, I want to believe, and I know you can, but help me overcome my doubt." You see, God is always there to help, even in our times of doubt. God wants you to be confident that He will always protect you and fight for you. Everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible for one who believes. Another trick the devil always plays is he tries to isolate us, right? Isolate you from your friends, from your community, from your church, from your small group. Isolate you and make you feel like you are the only one deal with doubts. You are the only one struggles with life. But that's not true. We all have doubts, struggles. We all face challenges. And we never mean to fight our battles alone. And that's why we need each other. Together we can stand stronger. And this leads to my next thought for you today. Standing together against attacks. Standing together against the attacks. Jamie, please show people the next slide. You know, growing up, I love watching this comic. The Ninja Turtles. Man, four American turtles with Italian names, dressed like Japanese. They are so confused. Very multicultural. It fits today's context, International Sunday. But one thing used to bother me a lot as a kid. You know, the turtles, the enemies, right? The enemies, they were way more advanced in technology. They got machine guns, laser lights, you know, all kinds of modern weapons. But those turtles, they are ninjas, right? They only know, fighting, kung fu, this kind of thing. So every time when they are under attack, they just dodge, you know, dodge all the bullets. Well, yes, they are so fast, right? They are well trained, but they just dodge. They jump everywhere. And sometimes they got hurt. So every time when I saw that, I was thinking, hey, you've got a shell. You carried it around 24/7, but you never used it. Just tuck in like a real turtle, right? Man, stop trying so hard to be Italian or Japanese. Be yourself. It's okay to be a turtle, right? You will be safe. You got a shell all around you. Why not use it? I mean, just because you have Italian names eating pizza doesn't make you Italian, okay? They should learn from the real Italians how to use the shell properly. Why do I say that? Let me show you the next photo. One way Roman soldiers would advance in battle was by lining up together, okay? So the front row held their shields in front. And the rows and the soldiers behind, they held overhead. So they protect the formation in the front and the top. So this tactic back then was called the tortoise formation. The tortoise, it makes sense, right? Because it just looks like a shell of a turtle or tortoise. So the Roman army was highly successful because of this formation. When their shields were interlocked, they left almost no gaps in forming a solid wall that was so hard to break through. But here's the thing. Every soldier has to fully trust the one next to him to hold his shield in place. Each person has to make every effort to keep the formation solid because their success or their survival relies on their unity. They will fail without unity. In the same way, brothers and sisters, we are called to stand together, to form a unity, because our strength relies on our unity. As it says in the book of Ephesians 4, verse 2 to 3, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to what? Keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity. He calls us to keep the unity. This is not something we can do halfway. It's a priority that we are called to put our whole heart into it. Without unity, we are easily singled out and targeted for attacks. You see, this idea of unity just reminds me of the Roman soldiers' formation in battle, right? Because alone, a soldier can only protect part of himself, right? If he holds the shield in the front, he exposes his head. If he holds overhead, he exposes his body. He's always open for the attacks, to the attacks. But when soldiers stood side by side, with shield interlocked, they form an unbreakable wall. They form an unbreakable advancing together as one. When we as believers from all around the world, when we can stand side by side, our unity in Christ becomes an unbreakable, moving forward as one. We can change the world if we can form a unity like this. How do we do it? You know, we always hear people say, let's make a difference. So what's the difference you are going to make? You are not going to make any difference if you talk the same way like others, work the same way like others, think the same way like others. You know, today's world, people just spend so much time and energy focusing on the disagreement. Man, just spend so much time to fight against each other for the things they disagree. But we are different. We focus on what we share in common. We focus on what we shared in common. We are from all around the world. We all got different opinions. We even look differently. But here's the thing. Today we are here because we all believe in the same God. Okay? We are led by the same Spirit. We are all saved by the same Lord. And we all believe in the same book, the Bible. Listen, it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what kind of the language your Bible is. When I say, hey, let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 2 and 3, you open your Bible in your own language, you are going to find exactly the same verse I'm talking about. That's what we shared in common. We all believe in the same word. Our belief is the firm foundation that enable us to stand firm and stand together. Worship team, please come up. Worship team. Okay, you know, in Paul's time, it's a very interesting fact. The Roman army, every soldier holds the same shield, right? But the person behind the shield can be so different. Why? Because the Roman army was made up of people from many different cultures. As the empire expanded, soldiers were recruited from all over Europe, the Middle East, and North Africa. Serving in the army allowed people from foreign countries to earn Roman citizenship, right? That's how they encouraged them to serve in the army. You can earn Roman citizenship if you fight for us. Okay, now here's the key. No matter where you're from, you are citizen of God's kingdom. And you don't need to earn by you anything you do. It's a gift. The citizenship of kingdom of God, it's a gift for you, and you receive it through your faith in Jesus. It's by God's grace alone. As Ephesians says, chapter 2, verse 18 to 19, the Apostle Paul says this, "For through him, we both," him is Jesus, "for through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Remember what we shared in common? One Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. How beautiful is that? But fellow citizens with God's people and also members of this household. What a beautiful picture of God's kingdom. Today, when I look at the people sitting in this room, I see this picture comes true. God's family isn't bound by nationalities. It is open to every person who seeks Him. Just like a Roman army's diversity reflects the expansion and unity of the empire, our diversity reflects the expansion and unity of God's kingdom in this world. We are a place for all people, a home for everyone. So we stand firm on the truth and we stand together for each other. God bless you. No matter where you're from, or what you are facing now. Brothers and sisters, we stand firm together. We stand together, okay? We fight the battles together. You don't need to fight the battle alone. That's why God brought you here. Listen, we're from different places, right? We speak different first languages. We look differently. But basically, we are all human beings. We all need love. We all need support. We all need friendship. We all need each other. We've been talking about the shield of faith today. But now I want to ask you the most important question. Have you taken the first step to make Jesus the center of your faith? Maybe you are not Christian. Maybe today you feel you are far from God. I want you to know God loves you. He got a wonderful plan for your life. Today you are here because God doesn't want you to fight your battle alone. He knows what you need. And He wants you to know Jesus is your shield. Jesus is your protector. Jesus is your strength. You see, if a soldier goes to the battle without the shield, what's going to happen? Well, he will lose his life for sure. But without Jesus, Bible says the consequence, the penalty of a sin is death. Without Jesus, it's like we expose ourselves to human sin without a shield to protect us. But by God's grace, He sent Jesus to the world, died for us. As Jesus died, He took on Himself the penalty for our sin. So we don't need to suffer the consequence of sin anymore. And then He extended this grace to all of us here today. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive forgiveness for your past, new life for you now, hope for your future, an eternal life with God in heaven. So even death cannot break through the shield God has set in front of you. So if that is you, if you want to receive Jesus today, I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer by following me. I will pray out loud. You can pray out, or you can pray in your heart. Are you ready? Let's do it together. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for coming to my life. Today, I open my heart to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I choose from today to turn away from my old life and turn to you. And from today, I will be following you and living for you. I pray in the name of Jesus. As everyone is bowing down their heads and praying, I want to ask you this question. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations, your life will never be the same again. I want you to encourage you to take one more step of faith. I'm going to count from 1 to 3. As I get to 3, if you just prayed that prayer, could you please raise your hand so that I can see it? I'm not doing this to call you out. I just want to acknowledge your hand, and then you can put it down. Are you ready? After that, I will lead the congregation to pray a blessing over your life. Now I start counting. 1, 2, 3. If you just prayed that prayer, could you please raise your hand? I can see you. This is your moment. I see both of your hands. God bless you. You can put them down. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? It's your moment to take on the shield of faith, to follow Jesus, to change your life. I see your hand, brother. You can put it down. Anyone else? God bless you. It's your moment. Holy Spirit, please move. Please move, Lord. Please move in their hearts. We got 3 people raised their hands and committed their life to Jesus Christ. Let's give them a big hand. Now let's pray together for them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment. Lord, we know you just touched their hearts again, my Lord. Please continue to guide them. Continue to protect them from attacks of the enemy. And keep them standing firm, and also allow us to stand together with them. Because this is a journey for us to walk together. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and blessing over their lives. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.